You know, to have peace, have the peace of God, you've got to have first have peace with God. You've got to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Why don't you, if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read down through verses 5 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, 5 through 9. Hope you're praying that our pastor has a good, restful week away. He doesn't rest much. Matter of fact, the first thing he did is figure out what he could do there. So I'm sure he's working on something. But he doesn't get away a lot, so if you would, you pray for him. Let's stand and read this God's word, and then we'll open in prayer. Let your moderation, if you have a Scofield Bible, off in the margin it says gentleness. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Father, as we come to you this morning, we just pray, Lord, as we look to your word, that our hearts would be open, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts and that you'd move us, conform us more and more into the image of our precious Savior. Father, we thank you. All of the glory, all of the honor, all of the thanks is yours. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I was thinking about this message, and Scofield has at the beginning of this section of Scripture this title. It says, "The Secret of the Peace of God." The Secret of the Peace of God. So I thought, well, that's a good enough title for Scofield. It'll be a good enough title for me. I'm looking around in the world today, and have you ever noticed the world wants you unsettled? They like you unsettled. Stop and think about it. From talk radio, I had to stop listening to talk radio. I started driving faster and more angry. From talk radio to advertising, politicians, they want you to think that you can vote in peace. They want you unsettled. They want you voting for change. Does change ever bring peace? Does change ever bring peace?
No.
Not really, not much. To the telemarketing person that is aghast that my car warranty might have expired, they all want to capitalize off you, don't they? Advertising wants to make you think you can be happy and at peace and contentment if you just have the next thing. Insurance companies want you to have all those things, but then they want you to get plenty of insurance on those things so that you can have peace of mind about that. I think we pretty much understand what the world is about, don't we? Don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be here a lot longer if you don't answer. I think, though, as I thought about this, behind the scenes, Satan has another agenda. And he's got his stuff going on behind the world's agenda. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And for the Christian, if you're a believer, obviously he can't have your soul. And he can't dictate when you die either. But what he would like to do is he'd like to destroy your testimony. He'd like to steal your ministry. He'd like to have you waste your ministry. And if you stop and think about it, a lack of peace demonstrates itself in the believer's life in many different ways. Frustration, anger, bitterness. Ever see anybody frustrated, angry, and bitter lately? I'm not talking inside the church, of course. Loss of sleep. Inordinately trying to control the things that we think we can control. Seen any of that going on lately? If you are a fan of CBD or any Christian bookstores, you'll see more on anger and control, more on stress and anxiety. You'll see more on all of these things. Another thing that believers do, looking for peace, they can look for peace or rest in sinful ways. Can't we? If you're looking for rest in alcohol, if you're looking for rest in drugs, if you're looking for rest in porn, you fill in the blank. What I love about John 10:10 is Jesus didn't leave it there. He went on to say this. He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That we might have it more abundantly. As I look through this, I realized a few things, and they're scriptural things. Isaiah 48 lets us know that the world cannot give us peace, period. Can't. There's no peace found in wickedness. There's no peace found in wicked ones. There's no peace found in the flesh or in the world system. But there's something also for the believer. The world also, they can't give you peace, but they also can't take your peace away. They can't take your peace away. I think for the believer, our problem isn't that we don't know where to go to for peace. I think our problem is that we don't stay there. We don't function in that peace. My favorite hymn of old is "Come Thou, Fount of Every Blessing," and it has this line in it. It says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy throne above." And you know, it's interesting. As you look at all of this, the world wants you troubled. They want you unsettled, and there's good reason they want you that way. Our testimony to the lost around us, if we're just as troubled as they are, is not one that they're going to want to investigate. Our ministry here and now, what does God want me to do today? If I'm busy, full of anxiety, full of fear, and full of dread, if I'm troubled, I'm not thinking about what God has on my plate for today. So I think this is something that's very important for us to investigate, to look into. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." If you're looking at that, there's a couple of things that stand out to me very quickly. Perfect peace. That stands out to me. And a mind stayed on thee stands out to me. And because he trusteth in me stands out to me. You know, to have peace, have the peace of God, you've got to first have peace with God. You've got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But once you know him as your Savior, we are often quoted as saying you can't work for your salvation, but there's a little bit of work that needs to begin after your salvation. Amen? I think the key to perfect peace here in this verse says a mind stayed on God. A mind stayed on God, as opposed to our natural tendency prone to wander. Stayed, I looked that up in the Hebrew. Lean upon, take hold of, bear up, established, lean, lie hard into, rest self, stand fast. I got thinking about this and our proneness to wander, to be on again, off again believers. And I think the key is to take hold of God, a mind stayed on God, to take hold of God. And the Old Testament illustration that came up was Jacob wrestling with Jesus, our pre-incarnate Lord. He had a hold of him and he said, "I will not let you go until what? Until you bless me." That's right. And I think this is a lesson for us believers. A mind stayed on God is a mind that takes hold of God and says, "I will not let go. I need your blessings." So I think there's four things that our mind needs to be stayed on, as Scripture teaches us. Four things our mind need to be stayed on, four key points for a mind that grabs a hold of God and won't let him go, looking for that blessing of perfect peace. The first one is found here in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding," now there's a testimony right there, "that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." As you look at this, a mind stayed on prayer. And there's a couple of things that strike me immediately. You'll notice the word "in everything by prayer." What's our natural tendency? I thought about this. I'm a man, so you know what my natural tendency is. Do everything I can in my own power, my own strength, and my own mind, and when I'm completely frustrated, what? Go to prayer. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like guys with directions. I don't know if you younger guys look at directions, but older guys take and toss those. Directions are for people that don't know how to use tools, right? And then when do we go to the directions? Yeah, yeah. A lot of times we treat prayer like that. Is that what verse 6 says? Verse 6 says, "Be anxious, be stressed out about nothing, but in everything, take it to him in prayer." You know, we are his. And he's looking for us to have a daily accounting with him, to take everything to him in prayer. I was looking at this a little deeper. Jesus, in his sermon in Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, he goes through the Beatitudes, and he's got this interesting comment on meekness. And we don't understand meekness. Warren Wiersbe says this. He said, "Meekness is the willingness to take everything before the throne of God and patiently wait for God's answer, listening for that still small voice and looking for God to be moving." Meekness is not the way we think of it. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. They use the word meekness to describe a horse that is broken for its master's use. Jesus and Moses were both described as meek men. Why? They were both very capable of men. Moses led armies. Didn't have any problem with the Egyptian. Jesus didn't have any problem throwing the money changers out of the temple. They were both men. But they were both men that took everything to God in prayer and looked for God's guidance. Our natural bent, like I said, is to do everything we can and then pick up the directions later. And I think it's that way with prayer. Do everything I can, and then when I'm completely frustrated, ask God to bail me out. We need to develop a habitually consulting God with everything that goes on in our life. Verse 6 also mentions thanksgiving. In everything, God wants us to yield to Him in all aspects, to ask for directions. And I can understand if you're thinking, really? He wants all of me? God just doesn't just want a piece of you. He doesn't just want your Sunday morning. He doesn't just want a five-minute devotional in the morning. He wants you, all of you. A mind stayed on prayer. Next, I think we need a mind stayed on God's word. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 16:33, and he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, because the world wants to keep you troubled." Jesus is saying they're going to work at keeping you troubled. But then he says this, "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. These things I have spoken unto you." Jesus is setting them up for a time when he's not going to be there and their world is going to get turned upside down. And what he is doing in to prepare them for this, to strengthen them for this, is to give them his word. A mind stayed on God's word. What God has said to us and what Christ has said to his disciples was not idle chatter, but they were principles and commands to live by. Jesus warned and strengthened them because what was coming was going to unsettle them. I think it's interesting as we think about this, like prayer, I think we do exactly what we can, all that we can, on our own. And then have you ever been in a building where you see this glass panel and there's a box behind it and there's an axe in there or something, there's a chain, and it says break glass in case of emergency. Have you ever been known that that's the only time your Bible comes out? Break glass in case of emergency? Sometimes we treat God's word like that, don't we? Like prayer, this has to be practiced. It has to be possessed. God's word has to be something that we take hold of and we don't let go. We have to be prepared for when trials come, because if you're grabbing your Bible only when the trial comes, are you going to get any peace in that? Are you? Okay, because I don't care if what you have home burns or not. You're going to answer me. There's no peace in that. There isn't. A mind stayed on prayer, a mind stayed on God's word, and a mind stayed yielded to the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." Anybody relate to that? "And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot always do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." Those verses go down to exclaim to us the fruits of the Spirit. And what is one of those fruits, church? Peace. Exactly, peace. And I got to thinking, what is keeping us from yielding to the Holy Spirit? The Bible warns us, don't frustrate the Holy Spirit. Don't frustrate the Holy Spirit. And I think as we have a mind stayed on prayer, a mind stayed on God's word, and a mind stayed on the Holy Spirit, the first thing that we need to start and think about is, you know, Paul said, "I die daily." Right here, he says, there's a war going on inside of you. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And obviously, you've heard before, which side are you feeding? Which side are we feeding, church? If we have a mind stayed on prayer and we have a mind stayed on God's word, then I hope we're feeding the Spirit. But too many times I find, like the lukewarm believer, we have a constant intake of the garbage that this world has to offer. And then we wonder, Why, when we try to look for the Holy Spirit's leading in our life, we're wondering where He is. A mind stayed on yielding to the Spirit is done by a determination not to be a double-minded man, not to be a lukewarm believer. It's holding nothing back. It's all in on God. You know, as a believer, it took me a long time to get to that point. I guess I'm kind of a slow learner. It has to be mastered by being sold out to God. A mind stayed on the gospel is the last point. A mind stayed on prayer, a mind stayed on God's word, a mind stayed on yielding to the Spirit, and a mind stayed on the gospel. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. This is an interesting verse to me when you look at it. I've skipped over it many, many, many times, but when I stop and really look at it, there's some things it says here that are kind of curious to me. It says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel is an interesting thing to me. When I first got saved, I don't think I really nearly understood it. I understood that I was a sinner. That I understood. I was the kind of kid that really, it was pretty hard for me to avoid that. I understood I was a sinner. I understood there was a heaven. I understood there was a hell. I understood there was a Savior. I had no problem with that. And although the aisles at Bangor Baptist seemed about 5 miles long, I made it down front and I accepted Christ as my Savior. But treating Christ as Lord came many, many, many years later, I'm ashamed to say. A lot of times we look at the gospel as though it's a starting point, or maybe we're just looking at it like it's the finish line. Maybe we look at it like it's the foundation of our faith. But I want you to know the gospel is the entire structure of your faith. The gospel is what gives us power. The gospel is what gives us motivation. It's what gives us goal. It gives us everything. Everything comes back to the gospel and a clear understanding of the gospel. I got looking up feet being shod, and it was kind of interesting. The Roman soldiers had their sandals studded. I don't know if you knew that. And obviously, it was for traction. And if they had to yield a sword, they wanted to plant their feet, have their feet planted good so that they could throw everything they had into that sword. If they wanted to raise a shield in defense, they had to have traction to take that blow. Just like that, it's interesting how this is written, just like that, the gospel, Christian, gives you traction. It does. It gives you a firm grip when life gets tumultuous, when the world wants you to be unsettled. A clear understanding of the gospel gives you traction. I was thinking about this. We say heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. I want you to know something. The peace of God is also a prepared thing. If you're looking for it when trials and tribulation, when you're unsettled, that's not how to have the peace of God. You've got to be prepared for that. You've got to have a mind that grabs a hold, okay, of prayer. And has that as a regular process for you. You've got to have a mind that grabs a hold of God's word. Jesus spoke these things so that we could have peace. So if he gave them to us for peace and we don't have peace, whose side is the problem on? It'd be on ours, right? A mind stayed yielding to the Spirit, a mind stayed on the gospel. These are prepared things. You know, years ago, with another pastor friend of mine and another friend, we went and we climbed Mount Katahdin. Were we in shape to climb, do any hiking at all? No. Had we done any hiking at all? No. The other pastor friend of mine wore brand new boots. Yeah. An experienced hiker would have said, you were not prepared to go on that hike. We were not. Unfortunately, his boots were my size. So you know who ended up wearing the boots about a third of the way up the mountain? Yeah. So three of us come hobbling back to the campsite. Our feet are all bloody. We were not prepared for what we were going to do. Christian, Jesus said to his disciples, I've spoken these things to prepare you so that you can have peace. The world wants you to be unsettled. Why? Satan wants to steal your ministry. He wants to destroy your testimony. If you want to have a testimony to people around you, when the world goes upside down, a calm, cool, steady believer whose feet are planted in the gospel, who has a relationship of walking with his God in prayer, yielding to the Holy Spirit, who knows Scripture, that is a person that is going to carry themselves in a way that an unsaved person is going to look at and say, you know, there's something different about him. I know we say that a lot around here, but I mean in a good way, spiritually speaking. There's something good about him. What is it? And I got thinking about this. Why? What is it so hard about life that we get so busy that we don't have time to invest into God? You know, when you stop and think about it, it doesn't make any sense. The temporal things in life that are going to pass away keep us so busy that we don't have time to work on the eternal things in life. Does that make any sense to you? It doesn't me either. Part of being a disciple is discipline. I don't know about you, but I wasn't the most disciplined young person. Oh, wait a minute. I was disciplined a lot, but I was disciplined a lot because I wasn't the most disciplined young person, if that makes sense to you. As I've gotten older, I've learned the disciplines of a disciple are crucial. If you want the peace of God, you've got to have it. The world wants you unsettled. For a believer, our mission field really begins when we're at peace. In a turbulent world, our witness as a calm, cool, content believer is something that we can share, not only with the lost, but with our families. Men, if you're a leader in your home, and you're supposed to be, you better have peace with God. I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, sometimes we're so inconsistent as believers. But you know something? If you have started on these disciplines, if you've started to be more regular with prayer, to be more knowledgeable about God's Word, to even think, sometimes it's hard for Baptists to think about the Holy Spirit. I mean, we don't want to get all like that other denomination, right? If you started trying to figure out how not to frustrate the Holy Spirit, if you started rehearsing the gospel in your life, keep doing it. I encourage you, keep doing it. If you want to have peace when the world gets crazy, and the world is crazy, and it's just going to get crazier, okay? Just going to get crazier. Keep doing it. If you have it, start today. Start today, because I'll tell you something. If you don't have tribulation in your life, what's coming? You know it. Three of you do. It's coming, isn't it? Right? And I'll say this if you're lost. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll tell you something. There is no way you're going to find peace for your soul in this world. The only way is to confess your sin before Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you, thank Him for paying your price for your sin on the cross that He bore for us, and ask Him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Not just your Savior, your Lord and Savior. And then yield everything to Him. Everything.